we'll start Hebrews chapter 5. Our theme this year is called to the ministry, and so I thought I'd teach a series on that. I preach a message on it at the start of the year, but I want to just preach a series on being called to the ministry. Kind of lay a foundation tonight. I have a lot in here. I probably won't finish. I'll probably make two lessons out of this. First lesson here is on being called, about being called to the ministry. First of all, just God calling you. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 1, "For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins, who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, that he himself is also compassed with infirmity." It's interesting. It's God uses a man as a high priest to be ordained among men to do sacrifices with them, because he knows what they go through and is touched in the same way by sin as they are. And so, and in some ways, when you've been in sin or away from God, you can help people and comfort people. Verse 2, "Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself is compassed with infirmity." Verse 3, "And by reason hereof he ought, as the people, so also for himself, to offer for sins. And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron." And we'll start right there, and we'll talk about being called to the ministry. Let's go ahead and pray together. Father, thank you for the call of the ministry, Lord, and that's why I'm here today, because you called me to the ministry, Father. And I don't know exactly why I was the one he called, and we never know exactly that reason. But I thank you for doing it, Father, and then preparing me and even forming me in my mother's womb, Lord, to do a certain job. And I thank you that you can do that, Father. And I pray tonight we would understand the callings of God a little bit, although there's many things that we can never understand of when you call, why you call, and all those things. But Lord, I pray we would understand the things you do teach us in your word, and help us understand what it means to be called by you. I pray tonight that your spirit would speak, and I pray you'd guide us in our minds. May our thinking be proper according to your word. And may your Holy Spirit speak to us individually, Father. And even if there's someone who you are going to call tonight, I pray you'd make that clear to them, Father. And Lord, I pray that all the thoughts would be according to your word, rightly divided and inspired and spoken by the Holy Spirit. Father, I just yield myself to you and ask you to work powerfully, Lord, and cleanse me from my iniquity, Lord, and make me a chosen vessel and flow through me without any hindrance. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in here we see Aaron was called by God to the ministry. First one, "For every high priest taken among men is ordained for men in those things pertaining to God." And verse 4, "No man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron." And so we see Aaron, first of all, was called by God to be a high priest, called into the ministry. And just briefly, I'll turn you back to Exodus where that happened. It's Exodus 28, but keep there in Hebrews. We'll spend a decent amount of time in Hebrews tonight. And God told Moses in Exodus 28 and verse 1, "And take thou unto thee Aaron thy brother and his sons with him," God speaking to Moses, "from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office, even Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar, and Aaron's sons." And he talks about then the making the clothes for them and how that they will serve an everlasting priesthood, and they will be the Aaron's family directly will be the high priest, and there will be other priests that are supposed to be there, and that'll do all the work of God there. And Aaron was called, and God said, "I'm choosing out Aaron to do this particular job." He told that to Moses, who was, of course, chosen not to do a particular job, and he called them to the ministry. Let me just start off by saying there's two groups of Christians who are called to the ministry. There's two groups of Christians who are called to ministry. First of all Christians are called to the ministry. All Christians are called to the ministry. You yourself are called to the ministry. The second group we have are those who are called to full-time ministry. And every Christian, you yourself, every child, every adult, every born-again person, they've been called into the ministry to do ministry work and to be entering into the ministry. Some of us get called to do full-time ministry work. And there's a lot of verses on this, but just turn to First Corinthians chapter 7. And verse 17. So you've been called to the ministry. You yourself have been called to the ministry. Doesn't matter your background, doesn't matter anything. God has called you to minister to people and to do His work. We see 1 Corinthians 7, verse 17. But as God has distributed to every man, and as the Lord hath called everyone, that's everyone, so let him walk, so ordain I in all the churches. Is any man called, being uncircumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Any called to uncircumcision? Let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but he that keeping of the commandments of God. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he is called. Art thou called, being a servant? Care not for it, but if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called to the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. And it's interesting there. If you're a servant of somebody or a slave, it says, you know what? God has called you as a servant. God called you in a situation. You are free to serve the Lord. And now serve the Lord as a servant or as a slave. You serve God, not your boss or not your master. And for verse 23, for he that is called the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise also, he that is called being free is Christ's servant. You are bought with a price. Be not the servants of men. That doesn't mean you don't do what your authorities say. That's all over the Bible. It means, as Colossians 4 says, or Colossians 3, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, not to men. So no matter where you are in life, whether it's with your parents or whether it's with your boss or whatever your situation is, you are obeying them not because they are perfect authorities. You're obeying them because you are called of God to obey God through them. And so you say, when they say, go clean your room, you say, yes, sir, because you are saying, Lord, I'm willing to do what my authorities say, so I'm going to clean my room for you. And the boss says, go sweep that room in there. And you say, yes, sir. And you do it willingly because whether you like your boss or not, you're doing it for Jesus, and Jesus tells you to work for him. And so wherever you are, you're called, and you're called to serve Jesus. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called, therein abideth God. So wherever, everybody, God calls where you are in life a calling. If a wife is married, then she is called to be a great wife. That's called to the ministry. Any man who has a family, he is called to lead his home. Every Christian is called to be a soul winner. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Every Christian is called to be a servant. We're called to be saints. Romans 1:7 says that. Let's go to Ephesians. So we're called to be saints, called to be servants, called to go soul winning, called to holiness, the Bible says. We're called to a lot of things in the Bible. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of spirit and the bond of peace. And then if you go to Philippians chapter 2, he calls us again, a lot of times, like about being a servant. You're called to do God's work. And verse 3, let nothing be done through strife and vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of sinful flesh. And so it says, you know, if Jesus came down and became a servant, you've been called to be a servant too. So you are called. The word called just means God saying, I want you to do this. God, first of all, calls you to salvation. Not everybody responds, and he calls you to his service. And wherever that is, you are supposed to serve God, and you are called to minister. You are called to love and serve one another in the passage we just read. And there's many, many things. Like I said, Romans 1:7, called to be saints. Every Christian is called to the ministry. You are called to do what God has for you to do. You are called. God has a plan for your life. God has a purpose for your life. And you are called to go be used by God to be His servant. You have been called. Some people, though, are called specifically to full-time ministry, like Aaron. Aaron and the Levites were told, the Levites don't get any land. The Levites, your inheritance is the Lord. And he said, Aaron, you are called to be in the temple and be the high priest, and you're going to be doing that full time. You get of the offerings that are brought to the house of God, and that how you're going to be supported, because you need to, the Bible says, attend continually upon these things. And so he says, you are called to do this full time. That passed through the New Testament. If you look at Acts chapter 6, Acts chapter 6, and verse 2. Then the 12 called a multitude of disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. We will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Now, here's the thing. He says, we have got to spend full time in prayer and the word, in the ministry. We've got to spend full time in the ministry. Just like Aaron had a job full time in the ministry, we now need to spend full time job, and their ministry was the word and prayer, and you see that there. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 9 is very specific on this, that those who preach the gospel are supposed to be paid and live and full time doing the ministry. They that preach the gospel should live with the gospel. And it says in one passage, and 1 Corinthians 9 is a lengthy passage that talks about this very specifically. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. So those are those who are called to full-time ministry. And verse 4. Have we not power to eat and to drink? Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, and as the brethren of the Lord and Cephas? Or I only and Barnabas, have we not power to forbear working? That means to stop working. Who goeth a warfare at any time at his own charges? In other words, what soldier goes to war and he says, okay, I got to buy my gun, I got to buy my ammo, I got to buy my suit, everything? No, if you're going to war, that's your job. And the ministry is compared over and over and over to going to war. Read 1 Timothy, as a good soldier endure hardness. And it's compared to war. And he says, who goes to war and the army does not pay for them to go to war? And a full-time servant is going to war for the Lord full-time, and they need to be paid for that so they can full-time attend to the ministry, just like those in the Old Testament. And who planteth a vineyard and eateth not the fruit thereof, or who feedeth a flock and eateth not the milk thereof? Say I these things as a man, or saith not the law the same also? And he quotes the Old Testament. For it is written, talking about paying the people who take care of God's work. For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the oxen that treadeth out the corn. Doth not God care for oxen? So in other words, if the oxen is plowing and making corn, why shouldn't the ox be able to go and eat from that corn that he is doing the work for? And if a pastor, an evangelist, or a missionary, if they are doing God's work and getting the church established and going and feeding the flock of God, shouldn't the income of the church be used to help them so that they, because they are a benefactor of the labor that they are doing? And so he's illustrated in many ways. Verse 10, for he saith it all, or saith it altogether, for our sakes, no doubt this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and he that thresheth in hope should be a partaker of his soap. Very interesting there, of his hope. Very interesting there, with soap. Soap's good too. And pastors need soap, trust me. And in this verse here, it says, it's a fascinating verse because it says they should plow in hope. And if the ox think is never going to get fed and never going to get taken care of, and it's making all this good food and doesn't get anything, it's going to be miserable. And can I just say this as a person who has watched a lot of people start churches and known a lot of people in ministry and keep in touch with a lot of people I've went to Bible college with and know a lot of pastors. People who do the ministry work in a job generally lose hope. They get discouraged. They think, man, I'm working this hard for this thing. And it's very, very true. If they're not in full-time ministry, they usually get discouraged. And because they need to, because a ministry is draining. The ministry takes a lot out of you. Remember Jesus when he was walking and the woman touches garment, and what did he say? He said, virtue went out of me. You know, virtue means manly strength. He says, I just got drained. And the ministry is draining because you give people your energy and time and love and everything else. And if you ever do ministry work, and hope you do, you know what? You'll be surprised how tired you are after soul winning or after going to a nursing home or after going and preaching or something. It is draining because you are lifting people up all the time. And he says you should plow in hope. Verse 11, if we have sown into you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap of you carnal things? And so he says, we should be able to, in the rest of the, all the way down to verse 14, talks about that. Verse 14, even so the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. And so you see that some are called to full-time ministry, and that's their job, and they should do that. Now, one of the things people always say, not knowing the Bible real well, is they say, you know what, Paul was a tent maker. I know a guy who doesn't believe preachers should be in the full-time ministry and they should work a job just like everybody else because Paul is a tent maker. And so pastors shouldn't do that. That's not biblical. And you know, the funny thing is, I just taught a class on the life of Paul. You know how many churches Paul was a tent maker at when he started? Out of all the churches he started? One. You know what church that was? Corinth. The worst church he started. And he was there for a while, and he started working in between churches, and he said, I'll start a church here in Corinth. And he started that one church. And by the way, it's not a sin for a pastor to work. Paul did sometimes. He did work sometimes. Sometimes he didn't work in a city because the people there he knew would use it against him. And he needed to show them that he loved them enough that he'd do it for free. And he did that in Corinth, and that's why I worked there. It's one of the reasons why I worked there is because of the type of people they were. Listen, I have worked full-time. When I started this church, I was working midnights. I was working 40, 45 hours a week starting the church. After about 4 years, I worked four years full-time work and then full-time pastor. And then I went about another 2 years part-time work and then part-time pastor. And then now I've been the rest of the time a full-time pastor. And I just tell you, it is not good for a pastor to work. I came out of a very, 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 very intense college. I have very good health. I can go on very little sleep and all that things. And I made it. But most of people don't who have to do that. Most of the pastors get too discouraged. They can't do it if they have to work very long. Now, if they have to work for a few months, maybe. But most of them can't do that. And God sustained me, and we made it through. But they that preach the gospel, it's full-time ministry. They should be in full-time ministry. I think it's biblical. And that way, you can focus full-time. Listen, several reasons. One of the things, they can focus full-time on prayer, the word, and getting things done they need to get done. You know how drained you are at the end of the day. Imagine just adding to that, taking everybody else's problems and doing all the stuff that has church has to be done and everything else, that all the work of God and organizing and preparing messages and all the things you have to do, it is too much for somebody to really expect them to do a good job if they do that. And then the other thing is, you know what? When I was working full time, you know, one of the biggest problems was I had bad, awful, nasty music blaring all night, and all the bad jokes from guys at work all night. And all the foul-mouthedness and all those pressures and all those strains. And you know what? Trust me, you don't want the pastor to have to cleanse himself every single day from all the filth that you have to. A lot of junk we hear, don't we? And I hear it anyway just because I'm in a wicked world. But you don't want them to deal with that kind of junk all day. You just want them to be able to stay in the house of God and do that kind of work. So some are called the full-time ministry. And this is a holy honor. If you go back to Hebrews there. We went through a big thing in the 2000s. I started talking to Brother Andy about this recently. Almost every pastor I knew took on a second job because they can make so much money. They were all very driven people and very strong people and very aggressive people. And all of them were in business making money left and right. And all the preachers didn't need to work. They all went, so many of them started going and doing extra jobs, and man, their ministry suffered from it. Some of them quit. Some got real discouraged. And boy, it's a sad thing that we even have to talk about this. The ministry is a privilege. Just want you to notice verse 4. And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. I believe in the ministry, the full-time ministry is a calling. It's not like you just wake up and say, you know what? I was in a junkyard, and I knew one of the guys in the junkyard. I was talking to the guys there, and one of the guys, he was a meth addict. And this guy jumped from place to place to place to place to place, trying to find a way to get rich quick. And he's pretty diligent about it. He got his real estate license, tried to get rich quick there. He couldn't get rich quick enough. He learned how to do a certain kind of insulation of floors and just tried everything to get rich really quick and all his careers. And he said, "Hey man, maybe I could become a pastor like you. Can I get rich really quick that way?" And I thought, you know, maybe you shouldn't. It's not just something you just say. That looks like fun. It's a calling of God, and don't just do it because I got nothing else to do with my life. I might as well be a pastor. That's not what you want to do. It's a high and holy calling, and no man taketh this honor to himself, but he that is called of God. Let me just talk to you about that. The Lord's callings come in several ways. How do you know when you're called? And by the way, because every Christian is called to ministry, and very few Christians are in the ministry. I was in the ministry when I was 17. That's when I really started in the ministry. I wasn't getting paid for it. I wasn't a pastor. I wasn't an assistant pastor. But I was in the ministry. I was doing God's work at 17, 18, 19. I never haven't not been in God's work since I was 17, maybe 16. So, since most Christians don't get in the ministry, a lot of Christians that I talk to, if I start probing at them, they think it's so crazy because they even think that because of the way they think of themselves. But I'll talk to them else, and they'll say, you know what? I kind of feel like I'm called to the ministry. I feel like I got this calling in my life. You'd be shocked how many Christians, if I had raised your hand, if you feel like you might be called to ministry. How many Christians, you'd be shocked, and I think we're a little more defined here and you understand a little better, but if I went in the average decent church in America and I said, how many feel like, close your eyes and bow your heads, nobody looking around, how many of you feel like for some reason you've been called to ministry? A bunch of them would raise their hand. Probably 60% of people in churches are confused because they feel like it seems so crazy. They are called to the ministry. They just don't understand. Everybody's called to the ministry. And they don't know, since they feel so called to the ministry and the Holy Spirit's burning in them, they wonder, maybe I'm called to the pastorate or to be a this or that, or I'm a girl, maybe I'm not supposed to. I'm confused. Am I supposed to be an evangelist, or I have a burning desire to go to the mission field or something else? And they might not be called by God if they talk to somebody who can figure it all out, to really go into the ministry as far as what we call full-time ministry, but they've been, they because they don't do ministry work, there's a burning desire for the ministry because the Holy Spirit is burning that fire, and yet they don't have any outlet because they aren't doing ministry work. Every Christian should want to be in the ministry. The ministry's awesome, serving people and serving God. But if you want to know specifically how God calls people in the Bible and the way God calls you to the ministry, I just want to give you a few different ways. Number one, God calls people in several ways. Number one, direction through whom God is speaking to. Direction through whom God is speaking to. Sometimes God is speaking to one person and he tells that person is called to the ministry. And you get direction that way. Aaron was called by God telling Moses, tell Aaron he's separated the ministry. David was sitting there in a field watching sheep, and one of his brothers runs up and says, hey, you need to go back to the house. There's Samuel the prophet's at our house. And David ran to his house, and Samuel says, you're the one. And poured oil on his head and said, you're the next king of Israel. David did not walk up and say, God, I'm the one. God called me. He walked in there, and God said to Samuel, he's the one. And sometimes God speaks to somebody else, and they are direct. I get to tell you many instances of this. Now, sometimes you get an inkling, but all of a sudden it gets confirmed. I was talking to a young man one time. We're driving around in a truck, and boy, he wasn't a super great Christian at the time, but he started asking me some questions about the ministry. And clear as day, I'm driving my truck. He's sitting next to me. And clear as day, the Holy Spirit said, he's called to ministry. And by the way, most unlikely candidate in the world. And I look over and I said, God's called you to the ministry, hasn't he? And he teared up and said, well, maybe, but you know what? I can't believe that God had called me to the ministry. And he started weeping, and he said, you know, I know God's called me to ministry. I just don't think God can use me. And he needed somebody to help direct him. And Brother Trocht, our missionary in Uganda. Boy, he went to Uganda on a missions trip, and he got his heart stirred, And one day, Brother Smith got up in church, and he said, you know what? God's really opened some doors for us in Uganda, and God is calling some people in our church to go to Uganda. And boy, Brother Trocht was wrestling with that, thinking, man, I have got 11 kids. And I got a successful career here, and I am the last person on the planet to be called to Uganda. Are you kidding me? And he's sitting there, but he'd been getting his heart spoken to. And he walks up to Brother Smith, and he, after the service, says, Brother Smith, he says, who exactly are you talking about being who's getting called to Uganda? And he says, you mean beside you? And he goes, okay, I get the message. God's calling me to Uganda. Oh, my soul, my wife's going to die. But God is speaking to his wife also. And sometimes God speaks to you through whom God is speaking to you. By the way, I've always found when somebody's called to the ministry in our church, I know they're called to ministry too. I've just found that to be true. I'm supposed to watch for their souls, and I believe that. If God didn't tell me they were, I'm not going to tell them they aren't called. But I've always known it about when they know it. Now, I'm not saying if somebody told me they're called to ministry, I didn't know it for sure. I would say, you're not called. But I think God verifies it through the church. And we'll show you some scripture on that. But God gives direction through whom he is speaking to. Number two, the Lord calling through a ministry. Let's go to Acts 13 and show you that along those lines. God calls you through a ministry. Acts 13. And verse 1, now there were at the church that it was in Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius, and Cyrene, and Maon, which was brought up with Herod, the Tetrarch, and Saul. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work wherein to have called them. When they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them away. First of all, Paul was already a minister. Paul was already soul-winning and doing God's work already, but now he was called to full-time ministry. And so God went to the church and said to the elders, the pastor of the church, separate Barnabas and Saul for the ministry. I've called them to the ministry. And they went and took them and said, God has called you to the ministry. We're ordaining you. Off you go. And off they went in the ministry, and that became their sending church, and they always went back to Antioch and reported. They were called through the church in this case. I think that... let's say all of a sudden somebody calls me from Guatemala, and they say, you know, Pastor, God told me to talk to you and told me that we have a ministry here in our church, and you can go and bring one of your people down here, and you can preach on television for free to the main station in the entire nation, and God told me your church is the one who's supposed to do it. I pray about it, God verifies it, and all of a sudden I say, Matthew, God's spoken to me, and you need to go down to Mexico, to Guatemala, and you're going to go, and we're going to run this. You're going to preach in this TV station and do all these ministries. God can do that, and God can call through the church and ordain them, and speak to them through the church. It's a great way to get rid of people you don't like. it is true that God called them through the local church. And we see that God calls people through a ministry when there is a need for the ministry work. God can call them through that. Through that need. Next, the Lord may call you personally, and that's the most common one. Let's go back to 1 Samuel. The Lord calls you personally. And the most common way somebody's called in the Bible was them personally being called by God. Excuse me. 1 Samuel 3 and verse 1. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord is precious in those days, and there is no open vision. And it came to pass that time when Eli was laid down in his place that his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. And the Lord said unto Samuel, and answered, here am I. And he ran to the Eli and said, Here am I, for thou calledest me. And he said, I didn't call you. And he laid down again. The Lord said again, Samuel, Samuel. And he went to Eli and said, What do you want? Here am I. And he said, I didn't call you, son. Lie down. And Samuel did not know the word of the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord as yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. God is calling Samuel. And he rose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, and you did call me. And Eli perceived the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go lie down, and it shall be, if he will call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. And the Lord said unto Samuel, Behold, I will do a thing in Israel, which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. And he called him there. Samuel, the little tiny child, laid in bed and kept hearing God call him. Notice he didn't run into Eli's room, and he says, You called me. And he said, I didn't call you. And then God said, Yes, I called him. He went back to his room alone. Eli was not hearing this voice. Samuel was. God was calling Samuel when he was alone in his room, in his bed, and God called him alone. God called Moses alone on a mountain with a burning bush. God calls people usually when they're alone with him. It's very true in the Bible. I was called to preach. I was a young man, a new Christian, and a baby Christian, really. I mean, just a baby Christian. Still had a can of Copenhagen in my back pocket. And I was walking up the park at night where I used to go pray. And as I was walking along, my two friends had gotten called to the ministry, Roman and his brother Gabriel. And I just said, Lord, what do you want me to do with my life? And all of a sudden, my head started ringing, be a preacher, be a preacher. And I stopped dead in my tracks. Boy, that was, talk about the last person I thought in the world to be called was me. And I stopped dead and I said, okay. I can't believe I just get called to the ministry. And I called my pastor the next day and said, I think God called me to the ministry. And so I went forward in church next Sunday and the pastor announced the church. He's gotten called to ministry. And the church said, are you serious? And they're still saying that probably. But I went there and I surrendered the ministry. And I was all alone praying and just talking to God, you know. And that was my calling. No fireworks, anything else. God just said, be a preacher. I just heard it over and over my head. Never doubted it. Never wondered about it. I was called and I was alone. You find oftentimes you meet God all alone. Jacob became Israel when he's alone with God. And you find that you get alone with God and you'll find the will of God for your life. Sometimes it's fascinating. Sometimes you say, well, I know a bunch of you are called to preach in the middle of a service in a big crowd or a big conference or something. When you get called by God, you'll be surprised no matter how many people you're around. You're all alone. God just says, I'm talking to you. And when God's really speaking to you, it doesn't matter if you're in a crowd. It's fascinating. If you read, I think it's Mark 18:1, it says the disciples with Jesus, or it said, and Jesus was alone praying, and the disciples said unto him. The verse is a funny verse because it says the disciples are with him, but he was alone praying. And you and I sometimes can get alone and we're in the middle of a crowd. Watch a teenager in front of a video console. They're alone. Watch a couple who's in deep, deep love in the middle of a crowd. I mean, they're alone. And you can be alone in the middle of a crowd, and God speaks to you in a crowd. Boy, God's got your attention. When he's calling you to the ministry, see, God does not want you doubting your calling. And I always say, if I can talk you out of your salvation, I can talk you out of your calling of God, the devil's going to talk you out of it. You better know for sure you're called before you just go and jump into the ministry. It is a high and holy thing, and God knows how to call you real clear. What in the world is that burning bush? God speaks clearly. And God doesn't want you harboring doubt. So he tells you, I want you to do this. So don't just say, that looks like fun, or all my friends are doing it. And many people have done that and found out they weren't called to the ministry. And it didn't go well for them. And God calls you personally many times. And so God just talks to you and says, hey, this is what I want you to do. It comes in many forms. There is a pastor, the evangelist. There is people who will never be a pastor and evangelist, but they'll be a youth pastor. They'll be a bus pastor. I've known many young ladies who felt like God was calling them into ministry, and they ended up marrying someone who went in the ministry, or there's been some amazing women of God who went alone into the ministry and served God full-time in orphanages and many different things, and God can call you to many, many different things. He can call you to run a camp or to call you to do whatever, but God can call you when you're alone most often. Next is the seeing a need calling. And that's Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. They say, if we're awake, true or false, all Christians are called to the ministry. Good. True or false, some Christians are called to do full-time ministry. True. Good. True or false, you can just decide to do that because it looks like what you want to do. False. Good. The Lord directs us through several different things and calls us through several different ways. Who can give me one of the three ways, one of the four ways? I've given all four of them. Now, who can give me one of the four ways God calls you sometimes? Mark. Okay, direction since you're looking. Direction through God is speaking to. Who else has one without looking? Who else has one? Anybody? Yes. God calls you personally. Okay, anybody else? Jess. See a need? Okay. Matthew. Okay, good. And you can see those all those instances in the Bible. The seeing a need calling, Isaiah chapter 6, this is a very intimate chapter of a calling of God. And Isaiah sees the Lord here in chapter 6, verse 7. It says, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and to whom will, and who will go for us? It's funny how God, when God is talking, he talks in the plural. Who will go for us? For those who don't believe in the Trinity, see Genesis 1:26 as phrased the same way. The Lord said, who will go for us, and whom shall we send? And and then said I, here am I, send me. Here am I, send me. And you see many things in the Bible where somebody is called by a need. The apostles were called, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And they were called. Just like that. Sometimes you see a need. I was talking to someone recently about the ministry. And I was talking to them about, forget for a second about the full-time ministry. You're called to do God's work. And they said, well, if I don't get a calling, how can I know what to do? I said, well, whenever you see a need, God has called you to do it. If we walked outside this building right now and a young child was laying in the middle of the street there, unconscious, I said, and you said, let me pray about this. Does God want me to go get that child that's unconscious out of the street? Oh, Lord, guide me. God's guided you. There's a need there. Okay? If somebody's sitting there and they got blood pumping out of their artery and you got a finger to stick in the hole and you don't need to pray, God, do you want me to stop their bleeding? Lord, that person's getting killed right now. Lord, have you called me to call 911? Okay. If you see a need, you can fill it. Okay? Somebody comes and they say, I want to be saved. I want to know how to go to heaven. God, speak to my heart. Lord, would you guide me whether I should witness to this person? God has called you to witness to him. When there's a need there, you've been called to fill that need. And in Isaiah's case, God said, who's going to go? It's funny, because Isaiah is alone in the presence of heaven, and he's sitting there, and he's on his face, and he sees all the angels all around, and the Lord touches lips so he can speak purely. And the Lord says, who can go for us? There's only one person there. And whom shall I send? And Isaiah says, here am I, send me. He's the only candidate there. And he said yes to the Lord, and he saw the need of the country, and the Lord said, I need somebody to go for me. I think sometimes God just calls you because you see a need, because it's something your heart is. It's interesting, the Bible says, whosoever desireth the office of a bishop desireth a good thing. It's interesting that's the office of a pastor. John R. Rice was a very smart man who was teaching English at Wheaton University and had a successful career. And one night he went to Pacific Garden Mission, the famous mission in Chicago where Billy Sunday was saved. And he went there and the preacher preached. And John R. Rice, a Christian, and he was serving the Lord. And he was sitting on the platform while the preacher preached. And at the end of the platform, some people started coming down to get saved. And John R. Rice, he instructed the preacher to go on down and talk to this man. And just who knows who the homeless man came down, walked the aisle, and he said, I'd like to be saved. And John R. Rice led him to Christ there at the altar. And he got done. The man went back to the aisle, but John R. Rice stayed there. And he said, Lord, this sure beats teaching gerunds and participles and other things like that. And he says, Lord, I love doing this. If you'll let me, I'd just like to spend the rest of my life doing this, winning souls. And John R. Rice says that was his calling right there. And John R. Rice went on for 50, 60 years and had an incredible influence on America as a soul-winning evangelist and training churches in soul-winning because he saw a need and he loved it and he wanted to do that. I mean, real clearly say this, I believe God called John R. Rice right there, but John R. Rice said, I want to do this the rest of my life and felt peaceful about it. John R. Rice didn't call himself, God called him, but God called him through seeing a need there. I believe someone one day will sees an orphanage in India or whatever, and they say, you know what, I could do that, I would love to do that. That is a thing I've dreamed of doing my whole entire life, is taking care of kids without parents. I would love to do that. And their heart breaks, and they begin to weep, and they say, you know what, I don't want to do anything else. That's all my heart wants to do is go do that. You know what? God may be calling them through a broken heart and a desire. And God calls people sometimes through seeing a need. And you are called, but God calls you through that heart and desire, through God saying, I need someone to go do this. And you see a great need. And that's many times a calling of God. Now, I believe God will confirm that through peace. If I was called every time I had a desire for something, man, I'm called everywhere. Because whenever I go to the mission field, I want to stay there. Whenever I see a preacher come in and show pictures of whatever country it is, I'm wanting to go. I want to go everywhere. I want a thousand of me. I want to start a church. I want to go start a church in Renton. I want to go start a church up in Seattle itself. I want to go start a church up in Redmond. I want a pastor in Mexico. I want a pastor all over Africa. I would like to go to India. I mean, I want to go everywhere. And I get a heart for all those things. However, I'm not called to all those places. I'm called to one place. That's here. Just your desire isn't necessarily that. But something will come and not go away and burn there. And you'll have a broken heart for it. It doesn't just go away. An emotion is a wind that comes and goes when you're not seeing the sad pictures anymore. A calling, it just sticks with you and is very peaceful and stays there. When you've been called to do something for God, it is shown by a need oftentimes. And you want to know that God has called you. And that's the basic way God calls you. Listen, the ministry is a privilege. Somebody might go and do ministry work and not be called to the ministry. That's okay. They become a bus mechanic. They say, you know what? If I'm a mechanic anyway, I might as well work for the church and do something good and fix a bus that matters. Nothing wrong with that. That's great. You don't have to be called to do that. Passes a different calling and those different things. And just one more thing. Let's go to Romans chapter 11. I'm going to skip a few points and get back to those whenever we get back this next week or whenever the next time we'll be here on Thursday. But Romans 11, very, 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 very important about the calling of God. Romans chapter 11, verse 29, the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. And here's one thing that we've got some people who've over the years, just I've seen fall. I've seen some guys I went to Bible college with mess with their marriage, and he can't be a pastor if he'd been divorced and other things like that. God's calling doesn't change. God never changes calling. So you may not be able to hold any position you could have held, but God has still called you. You are still anointed of God. You're still the called of God. And if God has called you, understand, you'll be called till you die. You'll be called for the rest of your life. So how does he do that? He can't be a pastor, and he's been divorced. No, he can't. But if he gets remarried and has a real good family, he might go preach to the kids in church and pastor them. He might be a good, real good youth pastor. And as a layman, not as a full-time pastor, but he might be a good youth pastor who preaches to teenagers in Sunday school and teaches them with a tear in his eye the danger of falling away from God. You're called to preach still. And I think once God's called you, and here's the thing, whenever somebody gets called, their calling always gets a huge test, and then they've got to say, am I really called? It's amazing the people who said they're called and then the doubt comes. Look at Moses. Moses, go deliver them from Egypt. And Moses says, all right, we're going to go, and I don't want to do this. And God said, no, I'm going to be with you. And he goes there and flops and gets them in more trouble than they were in before he went. Did I really hear from God right? I had a teacher, and he taught pastoral epistles, and he was a pastor before in Bible college. And he says, he just gave us a list of 19 things, I think it was, that are going to happen to you. And he's one of the things he had on his list was, you will talk to yourself. And when you're in the ministry, that's one of the things he said. He says, you are going to go and say, am I supposed to do this? What is wrong with me? What did I do? You're an idiot. You're nuts. And he said that you will talk to yourself. And Moses went, and all the time you're calling, you'll be tried. But if God called you, God called you, stick with it. God's going to use you in a great way. God can replan things just like he did with David. He can replan things and make Solomon king instead, even though Solomon was not even, he wasn't in the picture until David committed adultery. It's amazing what God can do. If God calls you to something, you stick with it, and you go as far as you can go in the will of God, and you will find God using you in an incredible way. It's an amazing thing. And then God designed you for a job. God designed you for a job. Look at Jeremiah 1. Jeremiah 1, God is calling Jeremiah in Jeremiah 1, and again, he's alone. So if God designed you, I know evangelists who have messed everything up, but they're still incredible soul winners, and they should be winning souls and teaching others to do so the rest of their life. They're called. And they still have that calling of God, the ability to win souls better than most people because they're called to be an evangelist. And even if they can't go in full-time ministry because they forfeited it, because they messed everything up, and they can still be incredible soul winners, they're called. And God can still use them. And in verse 5, it says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet to the nation. Jeremiah says, I was made by God and formed in the womb to be a prophet to the nation. So God looked at my mom when I was conceived and said, he's going to be a pastor in Seattle and doing this and that job. Let me form him to do that job. And you know what? I am formed to do this. That's why I'm not made to do something else. I'm made to do this job right here. I was formed to do it. That's why you never forsake your calling, because you are made to do it, and you're always out of character and out of. And so even if you haven't been perfect or whatever, God has still called you and he still formed you, and you can still do amazing things in the calling whereunto you were called. It is an amazing thing because he forms you perfectly. It's an amazing thing, and he makes you do that job. I think of what is the lady who was ran orphanages in India? Amy Carmichael. Amy Carmichael, the story is so funny because she always wanted blue eyes, and she had brown eyes. And she was so jealous of her little sister who had blue eyes, she used to pinch her cheeks and get mad and pinch her little sister's cheek because she was so jealous about her blue eyes and watch her face turn all red. And she was just bitter about it. She wanted blue eyes like her sister had. She had brown eyes. And then she went to a missionary in India, and then some of the other religions in the area got very nasty and were going to kill them and take away the orphanages and everything. She had to sneak out of India, and she donned all of her clothes on and covered herself, except for her face was still there. Well, when she got checked by people and people were seeing her and wondering who she was, if she was sneaking out of there, guess what color eyes Indians have? Brown. And she was sneaking out of that country and trying to hide from people trying to kill her, and they couldn't tell she wasn't Indian because she had a darker complexion and she had brown eyes. She said, Lord, thank you for not giving me blue eyes. We'd all be dead. Because God made her to do that job. And God formed her to do that job. And God knew what he was doing, because God calls and forms for a purpose. And it's a wonderful privilege to be doing the will of God for your life, whether you're called a full-time ministry or whether you're just called to be a servant of God. Being called of God is very important. We've got a lot of lessons to teach on this. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you. Call people. What an amazing thing. You should have just done angels, Father. They could have done a lot better than us. And yet, Lord, you call fallen creatures, Lord, sinful humans. You call us and use us for your work. Every one of us called to do your work and be in the ministry work. And Lord, many of us struggle with feeling unworthy to do your work, which we are, Lord. And yet you call us to be ambassadors, as we talked about Sunday. call some of us to full-time ministry to preach your word and do your work all full-time, but you call all of us to be busy about our Father's business. And I pray tonight all of us would be involved in your work, realizing we're called to the ministry, and those who are called to full-time ministry to serve you with our lives, pastors, evangelists, missionaries, all those permanent callings and full-time callings, Lord, I pray that we would realize we're made for one thing and we would follow that calling, because we're always called once we're called. You never change your mind. And I pray you'd use us in a powerful way, Father.